It's been a challenging time. We're rebuilding some staff, and we're building good quality, good roots. And we've just had some weird changes, and it's God's time, you know. This was the year that he decided we were going to make some changes, and they were definitely due. I mean, it's you know, you gotta, you know, out with the old, in with the new, right? That's just the way it goes sometimes, and you get a little bit stressed out once in a while. And I thought about it, and I'm like, you know, Lord, if you think I can handle it, then I probably can. So I was getting a little overwhelmed when Court passed away. That had me spinning a little bit there, folks. But anyway, I'm doing my best. Anyway, you don't need to hear all that. So that's just what we're doing. We're doing good. We're working hard. We definitely think that this world, my friends, is a very interesting and unfriendly place in a way. I was watching this morning these hearings of, you know, so now the Dems, and I'm telling you, folks, I realize I've gotten political, but you know what? Guess what? Everyone's political. Politics and religion are now merged, okay, in my opinion. If you have a solid understanding of who the Democratic Party is, I truly don't understand how you could, you know, and it's, you got to be careful, I know. But from my perspective, I don't understand how you could call yourself a Democrat and have a Bible-believing faith in Christ. I mean, I know that we as humans can paint false illusions where we can, you see it all the time with politicians. People, they'll be talking to some lady on the street and go, "Why are you voting for Biden? Oh, he's just such a very nice man, and he's accomplished so much in his years, and he's such a great family man." And they'll be like, "Okay, well, give us some examples." "Well, I don't know of any, but I just know he's so nice." And we tend to create these things in our minds, let's be frank. And that's what I think has happened a lot here, is that people that are people of faith, and by the way, the good news is I've watched a number of people jump the fence, something I haven't seen in decades, people moving from the left to the right, because the hateful vitriol is just destroying them. They know it's so wrong and so negative and so harsh and so bad. And so, you know, the Democrats do things like call themselves the people, the party of the people, or the people's party, or the working man's party. And, you know, and it, you know, there was a day that the logic, you know, when you look at like Richard Nixon, okay, if you listen to that guy and the stories on the inside, I mean, he was a harsh, cold, you know, possibly a little bit of a heartless, you know, conservative. He just didn't care. And he didn't care about the people. Well, I don't know what causes that, but I can tell you it's not what conservatism is about. Conservatism is about conserving what we've already got, okay? We've got a good thing. We want to conserve. Traditionalism, you know, even in the Bible, in Proverbs, it says, you know, Solomon tells his son Rehoboam, stay away from those who are given to change. In other words, change for the sake of change. And that's what the liberals are always doing, aren't they? Just change this, change that, transform this, transform that. It's all part of the agenda method of chaos. It keeps you on your toes. It keeps you uncomfortable. There's an old Chinese curse that says, may you live in interesting times. And I was talking to a guy a while ago, and he made kind of a comment about it. He goes, yeah, how, you know, he goes, how Japanese people say, well, may you live in interesting times. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. Where'd you hear that? He goes, well, he goes, I dated a Chinese girl, and when we broke up, he said, That's the last thing she said to me. And I said, well, that wasn't a blessing. In Chinese, to the, you know, ancient Chinese, it's a curse. It's like, may you never have peace or rest. We live in interesting times. Continuous chaos, turmoil, discomfort, right? And here's the problem. It sucks, and then you get used to it. You get used to not feeling quite right all the time. And then they got you because you're miserable and now you want something different. You're tired of it. You don't like it. You know, and they force you into this barrel where you just you're choked off. You can't get out. This is the worst of the worst, this COVID thing, folks. I mean, I've said it over and over, but I'm telling you, it's so bad. And like I was saying this morning when I was watching this hearing, they drag the new Postmaster General in front of Congress. You know, after they did Bill Barr, which is terrible, you know, he's the Attorney General. They just ripped him apart. Just the most disrespect ever in the history of this country towards anyone. They didn't even disrespect Nixon that bad when he got impeached. And then they drag this new Postmaster General in front of the Congress, and they're accusing him of everything under the sun. I mean, they're setting everything up so that if they lose the election, they're trying to give up control. They're trying to gain control. It's like when they knew this Russian hoax was coming down, they made Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, the U.S. Attorney General at the time, recuse himself. Now, Jeff Sessions has proven to be pretty pathetic. I mean, he's kind of a whiny little guy, and he just was weak. But none of them saw what was coming. Now, you know, the wolves are at the door all the time. So they push him away, and then they get Robert Mueller to run this, you know, special counsel or special prosecution, and it's just absolute corruption. So they get Robert Mueller to supposedly do the Russia thing. And when Robert Mueller finally testifies before Congress, how many year, you know, year and a half later, whatever, 2 years later, we discover the guy's probably got dementia. And just as happened at the FBI that led to all this, you've got all these minions running around under him. However, these are world powerful minions running around under him doing whatever they want. And he doesn't have a clue. He's just in la-la land. And this, you know, they place the, they're very, very, very strategic and smart when they do these things. It's, and it always seems like a series of accidents. Folks, when it comes to stuff of this caliber, even like 9/11, you know, and the stock market crash of 08, don't believe in coincidences. There's way too many people involved and too much money, and that's the key word, too much money involved for them to just have no control and just be reacting. It is very proactive. Everything is intentional, as we've seen with Pelosi and all that kind of stuff and what's been going on. And so they came after the Attorney General this morning, you know, just to, I mean, I don't even know how to say what they were saying there. You're saying, you know, so you think you're going to get pardoned after you cheat to get Trump in? They're accusing the guy because Trump appointed him. They're accusing him of planning to, you know, divert and control all the mail so that all this mail-in balloting favors Trump, because the left, of course, the left wants mail-in balloting. And there was things coming out. There was, you know, 1,118 cases of mail fraud, voter election fraud dug up just in the last week as they started to do research. There's so much corruption there. This is what they want. This is what the left wants, okay? So they're trying to lay it out so that when he loses, Biden, they can say it was stolen, it was taken from us. They can freeze it up. They want to have petitions, you watch, right before the election, they're going to be dropping petitions on the courts that are going to be active during the election, and it is going to be a mess. The problem is our courts are now filled with judges who are making politically correct decisions. They're not doing according to the law. We've all heard legislating from the bench. Folks, Obama stacked the bench well, the benches around this country well, on purpose. And now that's working in their favor in a big, bad way. So we need, it's just one more thing to watch. I will tell you, I need to get a flyer built or something. I've accumulated so much information on this coronavirus. I mean, it starts out, you know, with, I've discussed the genesis of it. You know, Bill Gates gets the patent in 2012 from good old Obama, his buddy. And they go to work at the University of North Carolina creating whatever super virus or whatever they're doing with it. Bill Gates gets the patent, has the patent on genomic sequencing. There's so many things I've found recently about him messing with the food. For decades, he's been messing. He's been really working hard to get the food. Well, he's controlling food into different countries, I guess is what I'm saying. And I have something on that here that I'll dig out. Where is it? Da, da, da. Well, I got two of the same thing. Anyway, so we'll find that here in a minute. But Bill Gates has been involved with food and health. And if you think about it, it's all health. And I remember, you know, how bad Hillary wanted Hillary care. And then Obama had to have Obamacare. They want this. Why? I was always like, why? What is the deal? Well, then I learned about Cloward and Piven strategy. That's how you bankrupt a nation. And then I start realizing, okay, you control the food. You control everything. And believe me, Bill Gates has got his thumb on it in a big way. In a huge way. And I will get there. I will get there. This is interesting. I've got so much stuff here. So he's just got this super Dr. Evil thing going, I think, is from what I can tell. As much as I can tell. He's just got this thing about world population control. He's talked about over and over repeatedly where he wants to control world population. He's just convinced that we have too many people on this earth and we just can't, you know, survive like this. So he's, sorry, I'm getting the phone going here. So he's, you know, he's mentioned in the past, before all this stuff came out, Gates was recorded as saying at a TED talk that he combined the statement that we need to get mandatory world vaccines so that we can reduce world population. And that stuff was like, what? You know, and you think, when you hear that, you think you got a guy just spewing stuff out that's opinion, but then you don't realize he's using his billions and billions and billions of dollars to manifest this stuff, to absolutely drive this stuff through as far as you can go. And he's on top of it in a big, bad way. I've been actually pretty shocked at how orchestrated this whole thing was, the way it came down and how ready he was. So the thing that, you know, if you want to call them the statists, people that believe in socialism or whatever, they've politicized personal health and self-ownership, okay? The Fourth Amendment of the Constitution says you are to be secure in your persons. You know what that means? That means the government can't tell you to wear a mask. We have a false pandemic. One of the most recent articles, journal articles I brought to the show was the fact that no one has died from coronavirus. I love it when I say that to people and just watch their face. It's just like, they're like, what? They're like, okay, great. You know, like, oh God, here we go. And the thing is, no one's died from it alone. The deputy director of the World Health Organization, the director of the European Health Union, the head of pathology for England and Spain and Germany and all these guys got together. They got permission from the various parliamentary courts and exhumed 400 bodies of people who supposedly died from COVID. 378 of the 400 didn't have it. Of the 22 remaining, the very minimum someone had in outlying conditions or pre-existing conditions or underlying conditions was 3. The majority of them had 4 or 5 underlying conditions, from heart disease to diabetes to, you know, leukemia to brain tumors, you know, extreme obesity, and on it went. And old age, the average death rate of these people that they were falsely reporting, of course, as COVID was in the 80s again. That's way above the average death rate of humans. So it's just death. And I keep telling you this. I just want you to know the masks are baloney. They're there for control and peace of mind. They're there to say, you are owned by us. We control you. Put on your mask. And I love businesses where outside it looks like they're doing that and you go in and they're fine. We spend time over in Idaho boating on the weekends and stuff, and most of those places have it together. But then I hear they're under martial law, you know, where sheriffs can be enforcing this crazy stuff. Folks, sheriffs don't need to be enforcing the wearing of masks. There's nothing constitutional about it. And if you look at all the Emergency Powers Acts, they don't give them months and months and months and months. And there's no data. I will say I wish Trump had a little more of a handle on things as far as being able to communicate. Because I think if he did, he might be able to use a little bit of Reagan common sense to get people on board with the fact that this is really over the top. We're selling our souls here, folks. This is, you know, and you got to realize this isn't going to quit. The Democrats will not quit until they win. There's a lot of different methods and techniques out there, folks. One is, you know, they have that scorched earth slash and burn policy. No one is sacred. They're being led by very vicious, vicious people. And I'm afraid, concerned that when they lose, they're the ones. They're like, oh, Trump won't leave office and all this stuff. Man, when they lose, good luck. They're going to go crazy. It's going to get wild. People need to be ready. I mean, we need to be prepared to defend our nation, the good side of our nation. We're not going to be taken over by a bunch of, you know, they're letting socialism and all this garbage go wild and Antifa and whatnot. So I was saying the statists have politicized personal health, that's your health, self-ownership, your ability to do with your body what you want, and attempts to destroy and discredit any information that threatens their control and even pharmaceutical profits. I mean, I was reading about Bill Gates. You know, where's the money? Well, the guy's put billions in, but he's gotten way more than billions out. He's getting royalties on every test that goes out. He's trying to get this vaccine pushed through, which is could be the very beginning of some not so good things written about in the Bible. For those who believe that way, everything prophesied in the Bible has come true, and it's specific. It's not figurative. I've heard people say, well, Bible prophecy is just figurative. It's like, why? Throw the book in the garbage. If it's just all these pretty little poems and then after something happens, you got to try to figure out how to plug it in. No, thanks. That's not the sign of a truly sovereign, omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent God. So we've got self-ownership and health care or personal health they're attacking. They want to discredit anything that's threatening their power. and pharmaceutical profits. That's a part we don't look at. You know, we've got literally, they don't want to discredit their sick care system or, you know, and their political power. It's about more than just the facts that corporate medicine is more of a sick care system rather than a health care system. All they do is mask symptoms and create addictions and, you know, pump people full of pills and to control them. I mean, there's so many people on antidepressants and stuff now, folks, and they're just not operating at their full capacity like that. It affects a lot of our brains, and I've got friends who got wives on them or whatever, and there's just a lot of impacts from that stuff. And, you know, I understand people have different things, but when they're giving you a drug that builds up, it's an analgesic type drug, it builds up in your system and it fogs your brain. And some people need it. Some people have biochemical imbalances that need to be corrected. I'm not going to disagree at all. But when they're diagnosing 25% of society as needing various medication, of course, they go after opiates, and then they're pumping out, you know, SSRIs and now SSNRIs, which are real scary. The SSRIs are selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Your body... Everybody's body produces serotonin at a different rate and in different rhythms. SSRIs, they're a serotonin reuptake inhibitor. What they do is they prevent your body from reabsorbing it, and so it increases the amount in your system. That serotonin's the feel-good chemical that your body produces. But the problem is different people have different production levels. So if you have a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, there's people that do not produce enough serotonin. And so what happens, all these mass shootings, all these kinds of things have all happened within a couple weeks of going on or off SSRIs. There's a website called SSRIstories.com, and they had to expand to another website because they had so many stories. Mass shootings, murder, suicides, you know, all of them. I mean, every last one of them. They have scientific medical evidence that this stuff's affecting people. Now they're doing SSNRIs, selective serotonin norepinephrine reuptake inhibitors. So what happens there, and like I said, there's people who are doing shootings. I knew a guy personally from my high school who years back was good. His wife's mom was good friends with my mom, still is, and back in Great Falls, he'd been in the Army, and he was a police officer, and he was in the Montana Air National Guard, and apparently his grandpa died, and he got on these. I mean, even his wife said after a week or two to her friend at work, she was a teacher, she said, "I'm afraid Don's going to kill me." Well, he locked her in a bedroom and killed her and him, what with his 8, 10, and 12-year-old in the house. And this was, like I said, maybe 6, 7 years ago. My mom knows him well. I knew him well. And, I mean, he always seemed to me like the kind of guy who didn't have enough serotonin. He was always very intense, and he was an Army Ranger and stuff. And so when they give someone like that who's not producing enough serotonin and they won't allow it to reuptake, now you don't got any. And what happens is when people get short on serotonin, they're 100% convinced they're right. There's been no exception. I don't know why, but our bodies, brains cannot believe an alternative theorem. We can't see relativity. We can't see reality when we don't have serotonin every single time, and they'll hide it. They feel empowered. They see crystal clear, and they go and do these crazy things. And so that's, you know, one of them. And then there's the other ones where people are producing it in waves, others where they're producing too much and they're basically wasted, like drunk all the time. And then they add in the SSNRIs. That's a norepinephrine reuptake inhibitor. So that's your body's production of adrenaline, epinephrine. So they get you all dopey And then they pound you full of this epinephrine, and this is making people bounce off the ceilings. And, you know, they'll say, oh, I'm a little drowsy. Well, take this. These doctors are prescribing this. They don't know what it is. They don't know what they're doing. They're getting their information from pharmaceutical reps. They're, you know how doctors are. You can't get a regular follow-up. When someone goes on this stuff, they should be getting followed up every 4 or 5 days for a while, and then a week, and so on. Heck, they'll say a couple months, you know, things can go crazy in that amount of time. So they're just pumping us full of this pharmaceutical stuff. But, you know, the opiate thing, I'm not, you know, I know the opioid epidemic, but trust me, that it's so overshot. That stuff's been around forever, and the side effects, you know, we hear all these horrible deaths, and every time they go in, it was laced with fentanyl. Well, everything that's laced with fentanyl is coming from China or Mexico. You don't attack the pharmaceutical industry. There's always some monetary gain behind it. The gain is because all the opiates have been patented for so long, there's no money left in them. When people have a patent, or if pharmaceutical companies have a patent, they have a sole proprietor window where only they can provide the drug for a given period of time. My wife's on that, you know, some new rheumatoid drug after insurance. And she just takes a half a pill a day. After insurance, it costs $1,600 a month. And tell me that's not a scam, right? It's just an absolute ripoff. This is what they're doing. So enough of that. So they're doing all this. They're politicizing your health to control you. And it's about more than just the facts that the corporate medicine, like I said, is more of a sick care system, our hospitals, and a symptom masker. They mask our symptoms and they create addictions, like I said, rather than a whole body healing program. God made our bodies amazing. They're a lot better than we're told. And this is how corporate medicine has bought political power and influence throughout every level of government, universities, marketing, and the media. You think about the fact you got pharmaceutical companies advertising direct to the public. You know, they're marketing these drugs all over. People are so numb, you can list off 8,000 side effects. You know, it's like your ears will fall off and you'll go blind, and you may want to commit suicide and wreck your car and beat your wife. But ask your doctor for the purple pill, you know, and they make it pretty and people go ask for it. They're so numb to it. They're like, oh, all drugs have side effects. It's like, yeah, so does all poison. Cyanide and arsenic, it's all got a side effect too. And that's exactly what's going on there. So this is sort of how corporate medicine has bought political power and influence through every level of, like I said, government. You think about it, they're everywhere. They have lobbyists, big bucks, universities. They control the universities, the medical universities. Pharmaceutical companies control all the education. They control everything. They're controlling the flow of information from start to finish. They're loving this. They want everybody dependent on their little shot, you know. Get your pill, get your shot. This is where we're going. It's so much power that they now threaten access to any information that challenges their narratives, as well as the ability to discredit, ban, and disenfranchise, you know, anybody who is really trying to run a legitimate medical thing. There's a guy named Dr. Mercola on the internet. Phenomenal. Mercola. Very holistic doctor, very brilliant, bright man. You know, he's getting attacked by the government because he's been laying out all these questions about COVID, and they're calling him false information, and everyone's shutting him down, and it's like they're threatening to take away his license and basically abuse his life. And, you know, just because he's forming an opinion, you know, they're imposing all this harsh statist behavior through businesses and licensed operators. You know, the small businesses are implementing all these crazy policies over masks and everything because they got to be there to make a buck. They have no choice. It's basically ex post facto law. They're hypothetically, without doing it, they're deputizing businesses to enforce non-law, enforce mandates. These aren't even laws, but it's not on the state. It's on the businesses. I mean, this is insanity, folks. This is craziness. This stuff is going to bite us through the final gate of this whole, you know, our whole existence, to be frank. So they're doing everything they can to discredit anybody who stands against them. It's, you know, I know there's naturopathic physicians and who are patient personalized care. I know a lot of those have been interfered with heavily. I've got some friends that are in it, and I know there's some that are even, they're farther out on the naturopathic and they get a little too extreme, and some blend it. And there's a lot of DOs now out there that are a little more open-minded to that stuff. But even integrative and allopathic physicians are now restricted and handcuffed by all these approved protocols, and they're all losing licenses. And right now they're just pounding this stuff out fast and hard. So we've got this, you know, scamdemic going on. Coronavirus cases are medically meaningless, and they're used to justify weaponized lockdowns to destroy humanity. Okay, so here's what I mean. They're coming after us with horror stories, anecdotal horror stories. No one knows anybody who's died from corona, right? There are all these people in the hospital. You know, who are they? Well, you know, I know a guy who knows a guy, and yeah, but you don't know somebody who just got corona and died, because the science is saying it doesn't exist. So they give you these terror stories, and then, oh, cases are increasing, cases are increasing, we're finding more cases. So you take the anecdotal fear and the case increase. Cases are meaningless. We've covered 85 times the prevalence are asymptomatic, and the fact that there's 232 strains of coronavirus. It's been around forever. It's just the flu. This one's proving to be weaker than the flu, and yet through propaganda, they're able to continue it going like this. And then they weaponize it. So they say, look at this stuff's terrible. It's like, you know, typhoid fever or whatever, the worst thing you can have. And then, which is a lie, and then they make up all these cases. Well, for each case I heard here on the news, they add 15 to 20 in large cities, because by golly, if someone's got it, there's got to be 15 to 20 other people out there that have it. Well, you know what the logic of that is? That's the worst science I've ever heard. I've touted before, I have a pretty strong math background. I've, you know, applied mathematics and statistics. I was an actuary that, you know, you calculate all the statistical and probability analysis for pharmaceutical companies, insurance companies, various corporations, you know, and you analyze studies for bias and variables and true double-blind randomized applications and, you know, population size and blah, 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 blah. So get this. You take Joe Smith comes in. He's tested positive. Oh, they add 15 to 20, depending on the area. And say 15 people for his case, because there's got to be more. So let's just say out of those 15 or 20 people, just say coincidentally, say there's 20 people in a circle, and they're all getting tested. And let's say say 15 of them are positive. Well, if they had 15 people for each of the 15 who gets tested, that group of 15 is going to register as 225 people with the disease. And that is exactly how bad this science is. This thing is, we're being taken down. And I've had people say, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. What? You know, because I want to look at the truth. Well, you need to just chill out and trust the government. I've had people tell me, trust the government. What is the government? The government's people. And then the government does really smart things, like gets all of our advice and guidance and policies and procedures from Dr. Anthony Fauci, who is an irrelevant, unelected official with an obvious severe ego problem. He loves the fame, eats it up, super loving it. You know, he's getting rich off it. He's got a rich history of corruption going all the way back to the AIDS virus, various medication and holding off so he could participate in various profits. And people who've worked with him have come out and done long, long videos explaining his corruption and deception. And, of course, YouTube and Google pulls it down. This is not how this country is supposed to be run. The mainstream media has stopped. I've noticed that the mainstream media has stopped talking about coronavirus deaths. Have you noticed that? They've shifted to coronavirus cases. That's because the term cases is a misnomer. Any person who tests positive for the coronavirus, I'm reading an article here, is now considered a case. So as more testing is being conducted, more cases are emerging. And as I said, for each case, depending on population of the area, they're multiplying, it says here, between 7 to 8 to 20 times the number of people for each positive test. Pure foolishness. So testing positive for a virus does not create a case of illness. I've talked to doctors, virologists, and you can do your own research. Every one of them knows a case is only established when a person has the symptomatic expression of the illness and the presence of an identified pathogen that is known to being to have been causing these symptoms. So the problem is, you know, you're getting all these people reported as having this and having that. And as I said in my last show, there are so many people, they're not looking for outlying information, like I said. They're not looking for other things that are causing this to, you know, that may be causing these symptoms as much as they want you to think. So we've got to be looking at if you really want good science, you've got to be looking at all the potential causes of this thing. You can't, if someone's got symptoms and even if they have a virus or whatever, even if they're manifesting it, it doesn't mean that whatever they have is the cause of their symptoms. And so, you know, when you look at this kind of stuff, you're figuring they're doing everything they can to cook the books, I guess is how we would call it. I guess that's the way I would say it, is they're doing everything they can to cook the books on this thing. And it's absolutely absurd the way they're doing it. It's not science. And then you get all these people that are afraid and they're convinced they're doing the right thing. They don't want to step out at all. And, you know, they just don't want to step up and take a stand. They think they're doing the right thing in whole, you know, totally. And then I've kind of covered, you know, recently all this stuff about how people are, you know, they were told, you know, doctors are coding all deaths. You know, we've got these different medical journals that are showing case fatality of 0.1% or lower. We've got, you know, these staged planning events before the virus broke out, urban outbreak, event 201, nationwide CDC quarantine program, job postings. How about that? They were hiring people for this pandemic before anyone knew it existed, before the virus was supposedly announced. Seriously? Just coincidence, right? It's like I said, I don't believe in coincidences on this level. I don't believe in them much at all. So that started in the late or mid-late November or October 19. You know, we've got the coronavirus patent, Bill Gates. They were doing World Bank pandemic bonds. The banks, central banks were setting up all these bonds to protect themselves with derivatives against the pandemic. And I mean, where is this all coming from? This was all in advance when this pandemic started. Doctors are being told to code all deaths as COVID without so much as the facade of testing, when up to 99% of case fatalities were in verifiable case fatalities were in individuals with many multiple pre-existing conditions. Hospitals, like I've discussed, were supposedly full to the brim with intubated patients when hospital staff were being laid off and furloughed. Whistleblowers were coming out speaking to the iatrogenic harm and death that was intubation was causing, and literally watching people being killed by the hospital because, you know, Andrew Cuomo in New York said they had to do such stuff. I mean, it was just, you know, you had this plan for a return to normal being dictated, as I said, by this unelected, you know, nobody, Anthony Fauci. We were supposed to lock down for 2 weeks to smooth the curve or whatever it was, you know, because the hospitals were going to get so over inundated that it was just going to blow the system up. And we put billions and trillions of dollars into new hospitals and ships. I mean, what Trump did with that ship is beyond anything possible. He did it all. The guy did it all. And now their new campaign is he did a horrible job handling this. Not only is that a lie, it's just cruel. I mean, this stuff is cruel, cruel, cruel. This is heartlessness. This is, you know, you hate somebody so bad that you're going to lie, cheat, and steal. You have no morals, no ethics, and you believe it's okay. It's like, we don't care. As I said, if we win or lose, as long as you lose, they don't care. They'll go down in flames to get Trump out of there. They've got a personal vendetta. They can't get the guy. They look like fools in front of the American public. And I pray to God that people have the veil lifted. And like I've said, I've seen a lot of people come around to understanding the deception, the level of deception. You know, we've been, in the same time, people don't even know, you know, Fauci, he funds GMOs, including non-meat synthetic products. We've got 5Gs. He funds 5G. He funds all the labs. Well, okay. I'm sorry. That was the wrong information. I was actually... We've got this return to normal is Gates that's putting this stuff out, an unelected software technocrat who's guiding this stuff, and he is funding the GMOs and all these non-meat synthetic products. He's funding 5G, pushing it, lobbying for it. Bill Gates, a recent report, he's funding all of the labs currently working on the vaccine. He's funding implantable tracking devices, and yes, he's the largest contributor to the World Health Organization, and the deputy director of that just stepped down to say it's a criminal organization that's creating a false pandemic with no objectable, verifiable information. Okay? We've been told people are dying en masse from every preventable illness, ranging from obesity to hunger, to properly prescribe medications with no historical precedent for government intervention. These are notes I have around these far deadlier epidemics. But now we're supposed to believe that the government cares so much about us that it's going to keep us safe against our will. And they want us to, they want to use this for us. We need to consent to be traced and tracked. Folks, it's crazy when I watch people out there. There are people that are sucking this up hook, line, and sinker. Young, healthy, good-looking kids or whatever, young adults, whatever you want to call them, wearing masks. I mean, we go boating on Coeur d'Alene Lake. People are wearing masks on a boat, you know, walking outside wearing masks. I mean, they've got this idea in their head. There's just this terrible pandemic. I mean, folks, somebody needs to pay for the lies. The American people need to understand their rights and responsibilities. That's the key. We talk about rights, and that's what the socialists say all the time. You know, you've got the right, the right, the right. You know, everything's a right. Healthcare's a right. Education's a right. Daycare's a right. A job's a right. You know, you, everything. Housing is a right. Everything's a right. Well, if it's true, where's the money coming from, folks? It's a right? No. Opportunity is a right. Inalienable rights. We all have equal opportunity in this country, not equal outcome. It's what you do with it. You all know people that have gone both directions. It's not easy to climb the ladder in life and do really well. Some people get comfortable, great. They like it there, great. But those that want to climb it, it's tough. It's just constantly tough. It's like climbing up a cliff with rocks falling on your head the whole time. Trust me, I've been in corporate America, and I've done well at it. And it's not a pleasant place to be. Then they start this. We need to be traced and tracked. As law-abiding, healthy citizens, even when convicted felons and sex offenders aren't, you know, they. What have they tried? Oh, we got to track everyone's guns. Folks, why do they keep trying to do this? Control, man. They want to have us by every possible angle. And then Bill Gates, you know, and his 5G and all of his data recording, and, you know, every test is sponsored by him, is funded by him. So every single one of these tests, he's gathering DNA. The method for testing with the Q-tip up the nose, that gathers DNA. That's the most effective DNA gathering method. He started to get really mad because they weren't giving him geographic locations of where these tests were coming from, so he couldn't record them in his companies, and so they changed that. So now he's gathering DNA pockets all over. I mean, he's building a system to control the world. What's his real motivation? Power. And then they're telling us facial coverings ranging from a scarf to reused surgical masks with millimeter pore sizes are supposedly going to keep out what we're calling a virus, which is nanometers in size. I mean, I'm talking nanometers. You know, let's see. Check something out here. 157 millionth. Okay? So, the coronavirus is 1/157 millionth of a millimeter, okay? You can't breathe through a hole that size. Can't do it. Not possible, okay? No matter what. And that applies to every type of flu. It goes right through, and they're like, oh, no, but it's to protect them from you, and you're spitting droplets. It's like, ugh, give me a break, guys. And our immune systems are getting all messed up if we're, you know, using Purell on our hands all the time and scrubbing everything down and wearing these phony masks that do nothing except make you touch your face 10 to 20 times as often, guaranteeing if there's something around you're going to get it. They want you sick. That's our sick care system, you know. They tell us, like I said, All these things have happened. Our people are dying left and right from everything. They never do anything, and now they're going to look out for us. And this whole, you know, this mask thing, it's just it's an absolute deception. Mask wearing, you know, has been enforced by the Surgeon General, the World Health Organization, and even, the mask wearing that has been enforced, we've had the Surgeon General, World Health Organization, and even Dr. Wonderful Fauci tell us not to wear them. And then we have elected officials congregated on television, you know. For a while, they're not wearing them, and then they are, and everyone's condemning each other. Folks, this is like junior high, the most dysfunctional junior high on planet Earth. And as I mentioned in the past, Walmart, Target, Costco, they're all open, and we keep shutting down all these small businesses, shutting down parks and beaches. We've had people locked up, arrested for, you know, trying to open their beauty salons and health clubs. But it's okay. You can go to Walmart and Target and Shopko and Costco. Really? Does that make sense? They're just making a killing. The big boys are winning. The little guys are being crushed. What's left of mom and pop America, small business America, is being devastated, absolutely destroyed by this thing. So we've got, you know, the, I don't know if you've seen, I've kind of watched the list of the virus's associated symptoms. They've grown and changed all the while without there being any unequivocal evidence of the virus's point of origin in isolation in Wuhan or proof of any global contagion. There's nothing. 5G networks are being installed all over this country during this time of essential work only. Every major metropolitan area has been putting these 5G systems up as fast as possible while people are being quarantined. I mean, I'm reading this stuff where if I was exposed to somebody with coronavirus and I find out, but I get tested and I'm negative, do I still need to be quarantined? They're like, absolutely yes, according to the CDC. It can take up to 14 days to manifest. Right. Find me a person that happened on. It's just malarkey. They're shutting down the world. Folks, they are absolutely putting businesses out of business. They're you know, all their employees are gone. I'm dealing with the same thing in a different kind of way. But, you know, I'm hoping that you, the American public, are maxed out on negativity. You know, our immune system thrives on this diversity of exposure, sunlight, time in nature, and loving, you know, the company of others. And we're supposed to hide out alone. Very unhealthy. Extremely effective for creating fear and division and anger. People are frustrated, not good. You know, we've talked about all the essential business restrictions, which is so unconstitutional that we're, you know, what, 60 million jobs have been lost, and yet there has happened to be a 1,000-page piece of legislation that was spontaneously prepared to institute the rollout of a system of government handouts and cashless currency that was ready to go within days. Then this next unemployment run, you know, of course, Trump had to do executive orders because the Democrats had to fight him to death on that thing, which is, you know, they just gripe and complain. And the negativity, folks, I hope you're maxed out on it. And then we've got the number of cases are determined, you know, through testing methods. These methods do not confirm COVID-19, okay? They've tested positive in fruit and animals, and the test inventor said they should not be used to identify any specific strain of coronavirus. What's that mean? Because there's 223 strains, folks. You carry the antibody serum for up to 3 or 4 years if you've been exposed. It's all a scam. I know, you're probably tired of hearing it, but I'm tired of seeing people act like sheep. That's just a starter list, to be honest with you. You know, we're getting this global Stockholm syndrome. It's a psyche-emotional dynamic of defending the parentified aggressor, and we're seeing the surface, seeing it show up. It's called Stockholm syndrome, which is a positive bond of attachment formed between a victim of abuse and the abuser. And it's why women defend their right to birth control, antidepressants, and medicalized birth without perceiving the dangerous shadow side of those technologies. And it's why today, all around the world, people are shaming, judging, and otherwise deputizing themselves to coerce dissenters into compliance. Wear a mask. You know, you're killing people. When the wounded and traumatized child's pulling the strings behind the curtain, she says you can't handle the emotions that might surface if you choose to relinquish trust and dependency on an outside authority, and basically says you'll be abandoned, rejected, and may even die. So this is what the left's always throwing at us. So, you know, if you're feeling powerless, then bully someone else and diffuse some of the discomfort. On an individual level and on a collective level, these dynamics keep us divided against the true oppressor, which is this whole scam sham, the media and so on, and Fauci and his gang. The authority that we unduly empower, we're basically giving authority is what I'm saying to. We're giving authority, folks, to our abusers through Stockholm Syndrome, I would call it. It's definitely, it's learned helplessness. We've got, you know, we're afraid we can't escape. You know, we've got all this, I'm kind of running out of time, but appeasement, feelings of pity towards the abusers, except Trump, who he's not an abuser, unwillingness to learn to detach from these perpetrators and so on. So it's a form of Stockholm Syndrome. I'm kind of going over some stuff here. I just really think that we've fallen prey to this at a level that we need to be sincerely concerned about. The facts are in, time and time again. There's so much information out there if you know where to get it. There's no question. There's no question we're being had. This is all designed to lead us towards the last and final step, I'm afraid. And I hate to tell you what that is, but... And I'm telling you, I guess I have no time left. I recommend securing your metal, secure your money, give us a call, take care, God bless, have a great night. Bye-bye.